You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Well, imagine this. Coming across a diary written decades ago by a teenage girl in New York City in the 1930s, entries revealing a passion for life and for the future, the diary kept faithfully from 1929 to 1934, containing a couple thousand entries, the diary also offering a fascinating portrait of New York City. Well, it happened. It happened to Lily Koppel. In October of 2003, journalist Lily Koppel found the diary of Florence Wolfson. The story gets better. Koppel managed to find the owner, who is now a woman in her 90s. They became friends. Koppel, being a journalist, wrote a feature article on the diary and its owner for the New York Times. The article led to a book called The Red Leather Diary, Reclaiming a Life Through the Pages of a Lost Journal. The publisher, HarperCollins. You can also find more about The Red Leather Diary at this website, redleatherdiary.com. Lily Koppel is my guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. Hi, Lily.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Tell us the story of finding the diary.
Absolutely. I was 22. I had moved from Chicago, where I grew up, to New York to go to college. And after graduating, I moved into a furnished room in an eccentric older woman's Upper West Side apartment. I came out of my building one morning, and there was a dumpster full of old steamer trunks plastered with vintage travel labels, Monaco, Paris, London. To me, this was just like finding a message in a bottle. And although I was dressed for work, I was working as a news clerk by day and a celebrity reporter by night, I just slung my bag across my chest and climbed up into this dumpster. And each box opened like a music box, and there were flapper dresses and a gorgeous coat that I only needed to get dry cleaned from Bergdorf Goodman. There were a whole collection of handbags and all of these fragments of people's lives from the 20s and 30s who had lived in my building years before I had. And for a young person who was just starting out in New York and was searching for love and direction in her life, the object that touched me the most was this crumbling red leather diary kept by a young woman named Florence Wolfson between the ages of 14 and 19 from 1929 to 1934. And I brought it home with me, and I sat down on my bed, and I started paging through the diary. And it was just this magical object that came to life. This young woman had chronicled her search for love, her obsession with a famous stage actress who she ended up meeting and professing her love to. Summer, there were these excursions to the Catskills where she actually met her husband of 67 years when she was 13. But just a really rich and vibrant life. Florence was years ahead of her time. At first, I thought it was kind of a portrait of a nice Upper East Side daughter, and I got to this entry that said, slept with Pearl tonight, physical intimacy with one you love is better than anything. And so Florence was quite adventurous, which was definitely interesting. It was like stumbling into my own movie, and Florence was the heroine, and she was lost, and I felt like I had to find her in that I didn't know who she was or how the diary had become separated from her. And like I said, I just felt like I was the protagonist in this amazing real-life fairy tale.
Yeah. Well, speaking of stumbling into your own movie, when you read the diary, did you find yourself at all thinking about your experience as a girl in Chicago?
Definitely. I mean, we were both painters, both writers. 1930s New York was a very exciting place and very different from New York today. I moved to Chicago because I wanted that really big city New York experience that we all know from the silver screen. But really, the city is, you know, like all cities, is changed today. It's full of Starbucks and Citibanks, and although there is definitely still the magical New York, which the diary really proved, it was more homogeneous. But I think actually when I think back to it, growing up in Chicago and just the proximity you're able to have to these great Art Deco buildings and wandering through the Art Institute without seeing a soul sometimes during the week, it was more like 1930s New York where you really had ownership over your city instead of just being one of the masses.
Mm. Well, how then did you begin looking for the woman who had been the girl, Florence Wolfson?
Yeah, well, you know, when I first read the diary, it was almost as if this young woman and I were the same person. I just felt that there was something in her that was really missing in my generation, which was just people talking about filling themselves with intellectual ideas and art and just a real honesty with their approach to life. She has a great entry which just says, 5 hours of tennis and glorious happiness. All I want is someone to love. I feel incomplete. And perhaps I felt similarly, but I felt very drawn to this young woman. And for 3 years, the diary slept in my bedside drawer, and I would go out to these parties where I was doing celebrity interviewing, and I'd come home at night, and where that seemed kind of unreal, the reality in my life, oddly enough, was this 75-year-old diary, which I read avidly, and I'd always come back to it. It was almost my guide and a friend, and I carved out a beat for myself at the Times covering in older New York, and I wrote a story about Manhattan's last typewriter repairman who works in the Flatiron building in this crammed office, and you really feel like you're time traveling when you step in there. And the day my story ran, I received a chance phone call by a lawyer who works like a private investigator. He calls himself investigative counsel, and he's like a character from a pulp 1930s detective novel. He literally wears a trench coat and carries a magnifying glass. So he says that's more for middle-aged attorneys and their eyesight. But I shared the diary with him, and he, being a lover of old New York and, you know, after this notion of the femme fatale, which Florence Wolfson definitely was, thought he could track down her heirs. Little did we know, Florence Wolfson at 90 would still be alive. And by searching New York City's birth records and using his collection of vintage telephone books that goes back to the early 20th century, he found Florence, and he handed me her number. And she had homes in Pompano Beach, Florida, and Westport, Connecticut. And eagerly and really a little nervously, I have to admit, because I didn't know what this woman would think about me kind of entering into her life. And, you know, a diary is the ultimate private space. But I figured I would take a chance. And I called Florence up one Sunday afternoon, and I told her that I was, you know, a 25-year-old writer, and I was holding her crumbling teenage book. And she just said, oh my God, you know, this is incredible. Did you know I was a writer? And of course I did from the diary's pages. And that's one of the things that really connected us the most. But however kind of imaginative that connection was when I first read it, it only became true as I got to know Florence. And as open as she was in her diary, she was still in her approach to life 80 years later, and really welcomed me into her family. And when that first call, she just ended it with, I need to meet you. I wanted to meet her, too.
I have 1 minute left.
Sure.
So what was it like for Florence to read her diary so many years later? What has it meant for her?
Well, when she first read it, she just turned to me. You could literally see the memories kind of racing across her eyes as she paged through the worn book. She said to me, from being this young girl that you read about in the diary's pages, how did I end up living this ordinary life? And at some point, she had left behind her literary aspirations and become a mother, and she had 2 children, and she had a marriage which lasted for 67 years. And I think the diary has been really a virtual fountain of youth for her. You know, at now 92, this is a woman who wanted to make a literary splash as a 20 and 30-year-old, she's now getting to do it. And actually this morning we were on the Today Show at 10 a.m. And, you know, Florence just turned to me with her bright blue eyes and just said, you know, this is an absolute fairy tale. This is surreal. I'm just could almost pretend it's not happening so I'm not nervous, you know. But she's really becoming almost a celebrity, and for a very significant reason, and that's that, you know, the diary was just a really honest portrayal of her life and her feelings and her striving self, and someone who is on a search for who she was. And I think that really resonates with many people. Yeah. And I think that, you know, the diary was a gift for Florence when she was 14 in 1929. It was a gift to me when I was 22 and I found it and I was searching for love and meaning in my own life. And at 90, it was a gift to Florence. Yeah. And I truly believe it'll be a gift to anybody who connects with its message, because it's about authentic feelings. And it's really about realizing the significance of each of our lives.
Yeah, there we've got to leave it. We're out of time. It's really been a pleasure talking with you about this message in a bottle, this genie in a magic lantern. So thanks very much, Lily.
Thank you.
Lily Koppel is the author of The Red Leather Diary, Reclaiming a Life Through the Pages of a Lost Journal, the publisher, HarperCollins.